and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I am recording... Okay, I'm recording on... Oh my god, if I close this, is it gonna turn off forever? No, I think we're still good, right? Y'all can still hear me? Okay, good. I'm recording with this Digi mic, which I think I've talked about before on the podcast. Listen, we're gonna get into the podcast. I just gotta get this mic thing off my chest. I'm recording with this Digi mic that I bought exclusively because... Every time that I would meet up with Becky Megan in person and be like, yeah, like we're going to record in person. I'm a professional podcaster. I've been doing this for like 6 or so years. I got it down, dude. Keep in mind, Becky has been podcasting longer than I have. She's on Lou Mangello's show all the time. I was like, girly, I got it. I got the mic situation on lock. Every single time my microphones fail me. And so I specifically bought this Digi mic double mic thing, even though I already had one at home. You needed a transmitter. It is a whole thing. I bought the whole kit and caboodle, went to record with Becky, did not work. I did not realize until this very moment that you were hearing my voice in your headphones or in your car speaker that I could plug the transmitter thingy, whatever it's called, right into my laptop. Excuse me? I have been lugging the biggest, bulkiest microphone stand across the country to Disney World, to D23, all over the freaking place. When I am literally holding a microphone the size of one of those peanut butter filled pretzels. And that is all I need to record this. And I feel like it sounds great. This is shocking to me. This is absolutely revelatory. Absolutely shocking to me. But here we are. We're recording the podcast on the road. Listen, I made a promise to you and I'm going to do my very best. Now, is it tricky to get these done? It is, simply because we are fully like on quote unquote vacation for 2 weeks. But like, what is vacation when you're connected to the internet and you have a life? You know, like what is vacation? And while I am recording this and I can hear Pearl screaming from the bathroom because Ben's giving her a bath, I didn't abandon her. I just feel like the theme of these 3 weeks is going to be when there's a will, there is a way, because that has also been the theme of my itinerary while I am here in Chicago. If you saw the title of this episode, you know we are crossing something off the bucket list today, and I cannot wait to tell you more about it. But I've been in Chicago for like 4 or 5 days. Ben just met up with us this morning, which means that like truly in a comedic way, this podcast is only coming to you. The only reason this episode is getting done while I'm out of town is because Noah Kahn's tour took a few days off between gigs. Like, literally, that's when you really boil it down. That's kind of it. I will have seen 3 more shows by the time you hear from me next, which I did not realize. But yeah, we're in Chicago and we're going, spoiler alert, we're going to New York next week. But also next week is like in a few days. And I forgot that like the first half of the trip and the second half of the trip happened in this, like I leave on like a Thursday. So all of this happens in 1 calendar week, which means that I'm going to 3 concerts in 1 week. Which now that I'm saying that out loud, I hope there's enough electrolytes to keep me going, because that's a lot. That's a lot. It sounds excessive. I never put it together. But, it's going to be a blast. And that's summer for you. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. I don't want to sound like I'm not complaining. I'm excited. I just did not realize that our Tuesday, Wednesday plans are the same as our weekend plans. Okay. That's going to be great. See, I'm on vacation. And yet, I'm still getting it all done. Obviously, this episode will be a little shorter than usual. This is a mini episode. But Pearl likes to take a long time in the bath. So I think we're going to get it all done. And I specifically have not posted about what I saw. I've not done any vlogging. I haven't made any reels or TikToks. I've been waiting to be able to tell you firsthand what this place was like. So stick around. It's gonna be so good. It's so good. It was so good. Okay, I'm not gonna waste any more time. I'll see you on the other side. It was so good. So basically going to Disney World right now is always on sale.
There is a spread of offers that go from today all the way through the end of the year.
I remember when you couldn't save money on a trip, and now you can save so much money and celebrate holidays and do all the things.
That's the thing. And there's something for everybody right now at Walt Disney World. So thinking about the holiday season, it's July, therefore it's Christmas in July. Therefore you can book a package for Christmas in July. Disney World just came out with its save up to 20% on select rooms with the Disney Resort collections during the holiday season. So this is stays most Sunday to Thursday nights from October 4th to November 19th. And most nights, including weekends, from November 22nd to December 24th. So that sweet spot where all of the decorations are up and all the times that I like to go to Disney is right in that little space of weeks. You can save up to 20% on your room only. They also do have a Florida residence rate. If you're a Florida resident, you can save up 25%. Most nights, October 19th to December 24th. That's just the first thing out of the gate. The second thing is the one that everybody should really be paying attention to, especially if you're a Disney Plus Perks member. Because if you are, you can save up to 25% on your rooms and, but wait, there's more. Get free park hopper benefits added to your ticket too when you purchase 4 nights, 4 day room and ticket package at a select Disney Resort Collection hotel. That's amazing to me. I have not seen them add free park hopper benefits in a package for an eon. So that's a big deal. That's valid for stays most nights from September 25th through December 24th as well, with some blackouts in there too. If you're thinking about doing your holiday season planning and you want to go to Disney World, now's the time to look at it for
Yeah,
sure.
dude, ask for your gift in advance. This is
Yeah, exactly. What do you
the
want? I want free park hopper benefits. Bring it on. Last but not least, if you can go to this late summer, early fall dates, which are about July 30th to October 3rd, you can save even more than they're showing during the holidays. So you have that save up to 35% for 5 or more nights, save 25% as well. And the Florida residents can save up to 35%. So pretty much right now, Walt Disney World's on sale.
Wow. Thank you so much for keeping us up to date. And I know we talked about this before, but I just want to emphasize to everyone listening, there are too many of these to keep track of, and they're changing all the time, which is why I always implore you to reach out to MEI Mouseman Travel because I can't keep track of these. But if you reach out, they will tell you everything that is available at that moment. And sometimes the rooms will go, and you got to grab them because I want you to save money if you're going to Disney World.
Absolutely. And sometimes the room only is a better deal. Sometimes the room only ticket packages are a better deal. So there's a lot of Disney math going on here, and we're happy to help you with that.
Thanks, Becky. Welcome back. I don't mean to be going on about the mic. I wasn't going to talk about the mic, and yet my mouth started talking about the mic. I put the mic on my shirt. I like pinned it on. I feel weird. I feel like those people who are like always eating stuff at Disneyland and talking about it, which is also kind of my job. But anyway, I have it on my shirt. It feels weird. It feels weird, but we are pushing through. Also, I moved upstairs to my mom's room to record. I sat down on the ground and I sat on a slipper from Disney's Hotel New York, The Art of Marvel. We went there, oh gosh, like 2021, because I remember France had really good COVID protocols and America had like none. Maybe it was 2020. No, I had to have been vaccinated by then. Anyway, we went to France because like everyone their mask and it was awesome. And I forgot they had these nice embroidered slippers that she has that I'm kind of jealous of. I must have put them in the archive, which is what I call my storage bin of all my old Disney stuff that one day I will go through and be absolutely wowed by. Actually, I do have, oh my God, we're not even on topic yet. Okay, last thing. I did go through it recently, a few, like maybe a year or two ago, in our storage unit, and I found like the hard hat that I wore to the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout hard hat tour. They made us custom hard hats that never happens anymore. They also, for the opening of Pandora, the World of Avatar, they sent out a video invite. That was like the last time the budgets were that big. It's wild. I'm so glad I hoarded everything. I'm so glad because, segue incoming, there is virtue in keeping old things alive. Here we go. We got there. We got there eventually. And of course, this week we are talking about the Milwaukee Public Museum. Now, if the Milwaukee Public Museum does not sound familiar to you, you have not listened to our Bucket List 2026 episode. You have not let those locations really build themselves up in your mind to the point where you obsess about them and eventually plan a day trip specifically so that you can go to one of them. Because, yes, the second I knew I was going to Chicago this summer, I was like, okay, we got to be getting to Milwaukee. Because if you don't remember, let me remind you. The Milwaukee Public Museum is, as the name says, a museum open to the public in Milwaukee. But what's happening here is that they house something so perfectly theme parky-ian, but that is closing at the end of the year. The Streets of Old Milwaukee is an exhibit where you walk through, oh yeah, you guessed it, buddy boy, the streets of Old Milwaukee. It is everything you want it to be. If you've ever, like, been on Spaceship Earth and wanted to jump out of the ride vehicle and basically get blacklisted for the rest of your Disney World going life, that is what this is. You don't even have to get in trouble. You get to walk around the buildings. There are beautiful facades that are fully dressed up. There is a friggin' audio animatronic basically doing nothing but sitting on a porch. A lazy AA. That is how I like them. They even have an oldie-time candy store where they sell oldie-time candy in the oldie-time village. But that's not all, my friends. That's not all, because it's not just the streets of Old Milwaukee. It's also an entire European village. Oh, yeah, dog. It is Spaceship Earth plus World Showcase. And I cannot even emphasize to you what this place was like for a theme park fan. I dragged my family here, and they don't get it. And that's okay, because it's not for them. It's for us. Like, I am truly sitting here trying to wrap my mind around how Wisconsinites feel about this museum closing. Because all I gotta say is that if I was this bowled over in one single visit, I cannot imagine how I would feel if this was going away after having gone my entire life. Because it is a tragedy that it is going away, and we are getting into the reasons why and my feelings about it in a moment. But I just need to tell you, there's a lot of stuff that's been on our bucket list. This lived up to the hype. This lived up to the hype. And I say that. I say that emphasizing that I rented. I'm gonna admit something to you. I'm gonna admit something publicly. Do not hold it against me, okay? I'm being honest. In the name of honesty, do not hold this against me. My rental car for this trip, on my trip to Chicago, was $700. That is not an amount of money I'm okay with.
We needed a rental car for multiple reasons. We needed a car seat, so we had to rent a car seat anyway.
We needed airport transportation, so we needed that anyway. We needed a car to get downtown and back, because if we're going to two concerts and we're doing Ubers, we need a car seat, so we have to make sure we get an Uber with a car seat, or we carry the car seat. There's a lot of things that added up that made that price be okay. But the thing that put it over the top was that your girl needed a vehicle to get her across state lines to Wisconsin to be able to see the freaking streets of Old Milwaukee. And there was a moment when we were driving, when my family's like, sorry, what are we doing again? That it didn't seem like it was going to be worth it. We pulled up to this museum. There was street parking everywhere because nobody was around. Weird. We walked in. There was no line at the ticket booth. There was practically nobody at the cafe. To which I went, I bought tickets online to make sure they wouldn't sell out. Maybe I didn't need to worry about that. But we got there, and it was worth every penny that I paid to stupid freaking Avis Corporate. Because, again, I needed the car for more than this. But I would go here again in a heartbeat. And I say that having literally gone there yesterday. The Milwaukee Public Museum is nostalgia bait incarnate. If Epcot was a museum, it would be this museum. Imagine being able to walk the track of Spaceship Earth. Surprise! That's this whole place. Literally. Oh, do you want, I don't know, frightening dead-eyed animatronics that if you look at them for too long, you start to get a little shiver down your spine and think their necks will snap and look at you like a horror movie? They have that. Or do you want, like, a tundra scene of animals, like really feel like you're transported to a different climate? They have that. Or do you want, I don't know, an oldie time town that literally looks like a Lost World Showcase pavilion? It's all there, baby. It's all there. And while I did come here specifically for the streets of Old Milwaukee, I was blown away by the museum as a whole. But we will get into that a second, because we got to talk about these old streets, because I'm here as a professional sitting on a teeny tiny mic in my mother's bedroom, making myself sound less professional as we go on moment by moment. I am sitting here to tell you that, yeah, traveling across state lines to go see an old street was worth it. Now, I'm going to give you like the top line information that's coming from their website, but essentially, The Streets of Old Milwaukee is an exhibit that originally opened in the 60s, January 1965. This was one of the first walkthrough dioramas in the world. I'm paraphrasing from Milwaukee Public Museum's write-up of it. Again, I wish I had time to fully report on this and interview people, but I literally do not. I am once again sitting in my mother's bedroom. I don't know, it's my mom and dad's bedroom, but I'm sitting by my mom's side of the bed, so I feel like it's just my mom's. Anyway. 50 years after it opened, in honor of its 50th anniversary, this exhibit was reimagined by adding themed storytelling. The newer stuff, I'm not too into. Like, they added a streetcar that, you know, like, there's a screen, and it's like, oh, you're traveling through Old Milwaukee. I, like, really, like, it was fine, but, it, like, that didn't really matter to me. The actual physical set, like, this place feels like you're on a soundstage. It is unbelievable. And also, it was empty, which is, like, I don't know why this place isn't packed. This is the number one tourist destination in the country. I'm calling it right now. Go here instead of Disneyland. It was amazing. I'm walking through the streets. All of the buildings are represented at about three-quarter size or less. It feels kind of like Main Street USA if it was a museum. Now, they say the streets are constructed from three different styles of paving. Granite blocks, originally from Buffalo Street. Oh, my God, really from one of the streets. Red bricks and cedar blocks. A lot of stuff here has been generously donated by the community, which they say, and they have refreshed it over time. It looked real friggin' good. And the heartbreak of it all is that while this museum is transforming into a new museum, they are moving to a purpose-built space. They are rebranding, which we'll get into in a moment. The streets of Old Milwaukee are not coming with. They are not able to move them or not willing. We will get into it. They are not moving them to the new facility. And there has been an uproar from people who are very upset about this. And now that I have seen it myself, I completely understand why. Because it, like, scratches every Knott's Berry Farm, ghost town, frontier land, old storefront itch you've ever had. You look in the windows and things are fully propped out, fully dressed. There are street lights. There's audio. The lighting is low. There are people inside the buildings that look a little real, but also a little scary. One of the buildings I was able to walk to the second floor and look down on the street upon. They have a silent movie theater where they are playing silent movies. They even have a little candy store where they sell candy. They have all of it. They have all of it. And this is so historically important to Milwaukee, and it really stinks that they're getting rid of it. Because let me give you one example from my one day I spent here that really spent here. One day I spent here that really emphasizes how special this place is. There was one storefront that was just more beautiful than the other ones. They had like a hat shop or whatever. They had a general store. They had Usinger's sausage, which is also a place in the community where you can still get sausage. But they had this like oldie time, very detailed, seemed like a general store, but also like a lunch counter type of place. I took a photo with Pearl there, and I was like, ooh, this is like, we're going to remember this memory forever. Like, we have a photo like that, that the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago, my family would always take the same photo every year in this oldie time car, and like, that's what we always did. So I was like, oh, this reminds me so much of that. I'll take a photo with Pearl in front of the storefront. We went for lunch later. We went to a German restaurant in the area. It was very famous. It's popular. Why am I blanking? Hold on. Milwaukee again, guys. I'm doing my best. I'm so sorry. Milwaukee. Oh, no. All my results are public museum because I've done so much Googling. German restaurant. Milwaukee. Mater's is where we went. I'm so sorry to all of my Midwestern brethren who knew what that was called off the top of their head and had to wait for me. And I took too long. We went to Mater's for lunch. We walk in and I look to my left and there's a framed photo on the wall of, like, the people who founded this old historic German restaurant in front of the same display. And I was like, oh, my gosh, history is crazy. My mom took a photo of me holding my phone up to it. I was like, oh, my God, they've been to the museum, the people who founded this German restaurant, which is years old, like a full old school vibe. Like, Pearl and I took a photo in front of this facade. Like, wow, we're really a part of Milwaukee history. I come to learn later on during my visit to Mater's restaurant that the storefront isn't just a place in the museum. It's what the original Mater's was. These aren't just like hypothetical theme park, like Marceline-inspired streets. Nuh-uh, dude. That facade was the actual facade of the actual restaurant that we later went to for lunch. The history is so strong here. It is pure edutainment. It is so Disney, and I loved every single second of it. But it wasn't just the streets of old Milwaukee. There was also this European village that was connected to it. And I swear, I have not seen Backrooms myself, but if I had, I would imagine that the Backrooms version of World Showcase would be a door through the German pavilion, through Germany. You open a door. Instead of going to Beer Garden, you're like, what's down this hallway? And it is this European village. They had really done this to, I guess, like honor folk culture and European immigrants and a lot of different types of people who have come through and ended up moving to the Midwest. The village represents building and other structures recreated to scale and furnished of 33 different cultures. Just to shout some of them out. Austrian, Belgian, Dutch, Estonian, Hungarian, Jewish. Hi. Well, that's more than Epcot does. Norwegian, Polish, Russian, Serbian, Swiss, and Ukrainian, things like that. So many different cultures were honored here. And you basically looked into all these little windows. There was a cobblestone walkway, like beautiful, like fountain. It made you feel like you were outside. The outside's been inside. Oh, heaven to me. You looked through all the windows. You saw the people. You saw them in their little homes. They were making little things. There were little fires. There were little things here and there. It was unbelievable. It truly gave me so, whatever the opposite of ick is, you know how there's like, ooh, that gives me the ick. And then there's like Grinch's heart growing three sizes. This was on the Grinch side of the spectrum. That's like the opposite of ick. The inverse of ick was happening here. And it was so freaking perfect. But I was under the impression that we were going to go to this museum. I was going to see the old streets. Pearl was going to get candy at the candy store. And then we were going to bounce. Like there were some cool like animals or whatever. I thought that's all that we were going to do. Mm-mm. Oh, no, no, no. Because what lied beyond was greater than I ever could have imagined. And I'm going to tell you about it right after this break. As someone who desperately craves the praise I get at the dentist when I'm complimented on my flossing, thank you very much, we have to talk about something that's new and exciting to me and hopefully the same for you. Underbrush Remineralizing Gum from Nathan & Sons is essentially a different kind of chewing gum that helps your mouth feel clean, clean, clean in a way I personally have not experienced before. It's designed to be a simple oral care habit between brushing, especially, you know, at lunchtime, in the afternoon, but the texture is different. It's kind of like gum that's good for you. Underbrush is made with natural saps instead of a typical synthetic gum base, which is just a long way to say it has a very substantial, satisfying chew. It is super chewy. And if you're someone who, like me, also needs to like constantly have a little something during their day when they're working, it is the ideal thing. It supports enamel, it helps freshen your breath, it's a simple oral care habit that's actually enjoyable to do. But again, one more thing I gotta add is that it's weird we're only brushing in the morning and night. I consume so much food during the day. Every 90 minutes, I'm having a snack. And I'm very sensitive about the amount of plaque that's been in my mouth lately. I just feel like I need to be brushing more. I don't like my mouth feeling unclean. And Nathan & Sons offers a great natural alternative that boosts my oral care. Nathan & Sons also makes underbrush themselves from scratch in their California facility. Like, the team is small, they've only been around for a few years, they're packing orders themselves, and it's just nice to be chomping on a small business gum, not some big corporate gum. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. If you like to chomp, chomp, and chew, and care about your oral health, you're gonna love it. Y'all know one of my favorite parts of finally going to Dollywood was stepping foot aboard Dolly Parton's tour bus because my girl gets it. How fun is it to see the world as part of your trip? Which is why I'm so excited to be partnering with Outdoorsy, the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States. They make it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one. And they have thousands nationwide available right in your neighborhood. Like the best part of a breakfast buffet, the omelet bar, obviously. It's also fully customizable to how you want to travel. You can drive it yourself, you can tow it, or honestly, this sounds so ideal. You can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It all comes with comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, roadside assistance, and basically peace of mind built in. And renting an RV can often be more affordable than hotels, especially for families or groups or like, what a good bachelor or bachelorette party, right? And also, I'm just gonna say, it has more spirit and panache than a sad Airbnb. I will not stay in a sad Airbnb, but I will stay in a sick, cool RV with Outdoorsy. Ooh, I love Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is available to renters 21 years and older. And how it works is, Essentially, three simple steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and your group size. You book with confidence, may I add, because they've got insurance and support and protection and all that stuff included. And then you hit the road or just arrive and chill. Whether you're driving or towing or getting it delivered sounds so cool. Sounds so white glove and fancy. You gotta get it delivered. I once stayed in a camper van. I talk about it all the time. It was a really life-changing moment for me because I'm from the Midwest. I honestly did not know what our country had to offer. I felt the same way getting off soaring across America. You know what I'm talking about. And having something like this, an RV that you can sleep in and wake up and be in nature when you are there without having to camp and feel like you're sleeping inside a poncho is, dare I say it, the best of both worlds. And I really don't think we're thinking about RVs enough because think about it, like a family or group trip where you can just like barbecue and like stay in the same place. Also, an RV for a sporting event or a concert to make a weekend out of it. Think outside of the box hotel, people. RVs are so great. And summer 2026 is your best time to rent one. I mean, if you really want to be tailgating and feeling like you're in that episode of Gilmore Girls where they're tailgating, get an RV with outdoors and you can do it and they'll set it up for you. I can't even think of a single reason not to do it. Especially because right now my listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026. That is wild. With code AMUSING at outdoorsy.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com, outdoorsy.com. And use code AMUSING at checkout to remove service fees. That's incredible. We love Outdoorsy. Oh my gosh. I did not realize RV rentals were this easy and I am going to do it with Outdoorsy and I recommend you do it too. Have a great summer. It's summer, which means I'm going to be sweating and I just want to look good while I am. You know, the best summer pieces to me are the ones that you want to wear every day. They're comfortable, they're versatile, and they're somehow right for every occasion, which is why I love Quince. You know I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen and organic cotton, which is so important these days. Breathability is key, and they do it all without the traditional retail markup. Quince's 100% European linen pants, dresses, and tops are lightweight, effortless to style, and start at just $32. But that's not all. They've got everything you need for the perfect summer outfit, head to toe. Pop on an organic cotton cardigan in the evenings, grab some little 14-karat gold hoops or like cutie little chains, and make the most effortless outfit feel intentional. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than other brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen. So you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothes. Quince also offers elevated essentials for your home, from bedding and bath to kitchen essentials and so much more. Y'all know I live in my Quince. Every day I am in my Quince bike shorts because, like I said, the best summer pieces are the ones you want to wear daily. I wore mine to Florida. I wear mine here. I wear them in the morning. I wear them at night. Like, my time for their cutie linen scents and organic cotton dresses will come. One day I will travel internationally again when I have not been demolished by having a toddler. But right now, I am in my sneakers and bike shorts every day, and I am gleeful every morning when I pop those bad boys on. No joke, I have 6 pairs. It is basically my uniform because Quince is that good. I wear these daily and they never wear out. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier because I have, and it kind of rocks. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. I moved my mic from my shirt to my hand, and I know I don't have to tell you that, but I felt like I needed to let you know. I don't know why. I felt like I couldn't report this podcast without telling you exactly where my microphone was. I don't know why, okay? I don't know why. I already told you how much those stupid rental car costs. I didn't do it just for this. I needed it for other stuff to get Pearl around, but still, I'm embarrassed by that, and I had to tell you. Okay, now everything's off my chest, and we can get into it, because this museum blew my GD mind. This museum. Oh! My Lord, there are a few places I go where I'm like absolutely high on joy, and this place did it. Pearl ended up going to Storytime. Pearl was not into the museum. We'll get into that in a sec. So she went to Storytime with my mom and my dad. They went downstairs, and I was like, well, I'm here. I may as well like check out the rest of the museum. What did I discover inside? But an absolute wonder on every single floor. Now, what was crazy about this museum that I've never really experienced anywhere else is that they contextualized everything that you were seeing, the exhibits, the glass cases, the information, the science, the knowledge that they were sharing with you wasn't just done through glass display cases, through touch screens, through the signage. They immersed you. Oh yeah, I'm using the big I word. They immersed you in every single theme that you encountered in every single exhibit to a point where it was like every exhibit was its own rainforest cafe. I know. And I say that because the first one I walked in was the rainforest. And it wasn't just that they propped it out with like, oh, leaves, oh, trees. Like, oh, it's a two-story Costa Rican rainforest. It wasn't just that. You walk in, and the way that they taught you about science was not only done by sections done up with beautiful neon signs, old school neon signs, the most gorgeous font work you've ever seen. The exhibits were so easy to understand for a different type of brain than what museums are geared towards now. Museums feel like school. They feel like studying. They shouldn't always. And a lot of times, I think they get the interactivity wrong. Here, they recreated essentially like a scientist at work in the rainforest. I'm going to post videos of everything on social media if I haven't already. But they had the cabin that this dude was living in while he was working out there. On his workspace, there was a bottle of salsa. He had a bunch of like film camera rolls and photos and sheets of paper on his bed. He had his work boots. He had samples of things hanging from the ceiling. It was like you were there with him. And that is never what museums are doing these days. They're not transporting you above and beyond. Usually they're just showing you. This place was showing and telling you. And it was unreal. Because they had a lot of spaces that were themed to like Africa, the Arctic. And not only did they have innumerable, like dozens upon dozens upon dozens of these beautiful diorama displays where they had these huge animal figures that looked so lifelike and so real, lit so beautifully and done with such detail that you would think you were at a theme park. But they also had these beautiful painted frescoes behind them that when you looked at it, in a very theme park way, you looked at it, you took a picture with your camera, you almost couldn't distinguish what was there and what was painted. Everything popped out and felt real. And what blew me away the most was walking in these sections like Latin America, like what are the North America areas. They built out areas to make the landscape match. There was an ice age section and it looked like you were walking inside a glacier. In one area, they had different clothing from Mexico, clothing and accessories on display in a fake Mexican village with posters on the wall that would have been hypothetically performances and things that were happening in that city. Everything felt like Animal freaking Kingdom. And this was a museum. It wasn't even a theme park. It's like, this is how things could be, and yet they are not. And floor after floor after freaking floor, this is what I experienced. Full displays. Like, if you have ever walked in Animal Kingdom and like walked in the Africa area and been like, the level of detail here is why I love theme parks. Girly, boy, however you identify, get thee in a plane or a car or a bus or a jet. I don't care how you get there. Don't take a jet. I mean, it's a big waste of oil. If you can get there, get to Milwaukee before this closes, because it blew me away. Away. And we got to get into the real sad part of this, which is that this is all changing. They are essentially completely closing this museum and this building right after the end of the year. And the museum's contents will be repurposed and moved to their new museum. They are going to relaunch as the Nature and Culture Museum of Wisconsin, which, I'm sorry, guys, that's a terrible name. There are enough journalists out of work doing copywriting where you can find someone to think of something better than Nature and Culture Museum of Wisconsin. There's not even a fun acronym there. Nope. You got nothing. There should have been a better name. I hate it, just like I hate a lot of things about them moving. I understand, but I hate it. Publicly, the vibe of this move feels very girl who is going to be okay, if you know what I mean. A lot of the famed exhibits, they promise, will be making their way to the new museum.
It does feel a little Josh Romero on stage being like, we're redoing a lot of things, but you'll still have XYZ. Like, we're going to redo Epcot, but you'll still have Figment. Like, it feels very much that vibe, but I digress. The facts on the website are extensive, and I've read through all of them, and they do have some seriously good reasons for why they're moving. One, the museum is friggin' falling apart at the seams. They said that every rainstorm leads to dozens of buckets appearing across the museum to catch leaks. Old pipes have burst in storage areas, and while none of these events have caused irreparable, I'm too thirsty to say that word. Hold on. Oh my God, there's two water bottles here. One is my mom's and one's mine. I don't know which. They're at the same level. They're at the exact same freaking level. Okay, I hate drinking other people's water, even though I, like, lived in my mom for 9 months. Okay, I'm not going to drink any. Sorry, you have to bear with me and my voice. So they said none have caused irreparable damage, but they are at risk to the collections. Some of the most valuable collections are stored in the museum's basement, which has environmental mildew issues and does not meet modern museum standards. Sounds bad. They also claim that they've deferred $100 million in maintenance. That's not good. That's not good. And I'll give them that. They also say, many parts of this building, including the 1960s escalators and elevators, which are not adequately sized to handle current visitor demand for modern-day strollers and personal mobility devices, break down and are costly and difficult to repair. Now, I believe them that these elevators break down. This building was old, but it was so freaking charming that I took a picture of everything. The bathrooms, adorable. The signs, adorable. The feel of the building, the infrastructure, this museum felt like if you were at an old school Macy's, but it was a museum. It was, I'm sorry, magical. And I believe them, the elevators probably break down a lot, and I understand. However, claiming that a few buckets of water and there being 1960s escalators, which is why they need to redo the building, I don't think I fully buy that. I was there on a Saturday in the middle of summer. This is an air-conditioned property. And let me tell you, it was pretty quiet. It was so quiet that I parked on the street. I didn't even need to park in the lot. We walked right in. There were no lines or crowds for anything. So methinks the demand was being met totally fine. Also, there were some areas that were not fully equal for accessibility, which is bad. You want things to be accessible for everyone. The second floor of the rainforest portion comes to mind, stuff like that. But I actually, before I thought it through through this lens for why they're closing, I actually found myself very impressed that for a museum so old, there were so many ramps and so many single-story exhibits that could be accessed by everyone. And, I thought, easily by the elevators available. I thought that the flow of the museum really lended itself well to great wayfinding. There was an elevator at the entrance exit of both of, like, every floor of exhibits. I thought it was quite accessible. And the elevators... I mean, sorry, like, the elevators, if you can't fit a modern stroller in there or an ECV, like, let's be real here. I've been on the Disney Wonder a lot, okay? You can't fit anything in those elevators, and they're still making those ships work. I can barely fit a stroller in there, and we're still getting from floor to floor. And the escalators, I actually thought were so good for mobility reasons, because they're really, I didn't see any stairs. The elevator was reserved for people who actually exclusively need the elevator, which I love when people do that. And then the escalators meant you could easy breezy go floor to floor without having to go on stairs. And there was no walkway. It was just easy up and down. They were so close to everything. And I thought it was very convenient. Like, okay, they opened this new LACMA in LA, this new LACMA wing. And this purpose-built structure, the entrance, it would blow your freaking mind. The entrance is a GD kiosk on the ground, and then you walk up 3 flights of concrete stairs. Okay? This brand new mega $1 million, millions upon millions, this massive millions of dollar structure in Los Angeles, the entrance is a kiosk on the ground and 3 flights of concrete stairs. And oh, if you can't walk 3 flights of concrete stairs, you're sent to a secondary entrance, which is an elevator that is further away from this quote unquote main entrance. What maniac designed this? That's not accessible. In my opinion, if you have a secondary, like, oh, I guess we have an elevator over there type of entrance, you're doing accessibility wrong. And also, someone may not need an elevator, but that doesn't mean that they're going to look forward to 3 flights of concrete stairs outdoors. LA gets so hot. I sometimes choose to exercise on a Stairmaster. And I was huffing and puffing up these stairs, complaining to my husband, like, what? Who designed this? Who did they design this with humans in mind? What is this? It was horrible. So I was blown away that everything was escalators. It seemed so easy breezy to me. It seemed more accessible than a brand new building in LA in 2026. You know? So, yeah, Milwaukee, I'm not with you on that one. The building it's currently in is so unusual, which I found to be delightfully fun. It felt like an old municipal building. I was looking into it, and I think it like maybe was an old library. That would make a lot of sense. It just kind of felt like a courthouse that happened to also house this wild, zany collection of lifelike dioramas. Truly blew my mind. But the new building, I will hand it to them. It does, in theory, sound pretty cool. It will look like Bluffs from Mill Bluff State Park, but the concept is essentially twofold. Apparently, different floors will be offset within this like bluff-like structure. Bluff is like a big kind of cliff thing. That's like the best way to explain it in audio format. The floors will be offset, so you can like look into and preview different exhibit floors. I guess that one of the floors you can look over and you can see some of the archive collection, which is very cool. They do that at the Broad. I think that's fun. I like that. But the powwow, oh my God, the powwow. We got to be talking about the powwow. Let me see how they describe it. I'm on the website. Okay, wait, give me one sec. I don't know. I can just hit pause, but I really want you to be with me on this journey. Where is it? Okay, hold on one sec. Oh my gosh, the powwow. Okay, so this is really, to me, indicative of what we are losing when this museum goes away, because we are losing so much that I didn't even know that we were losing. Now, there is an exhibit on, I believe it's the second floor, and it's called, like, the centerpiece attraction is called Indian Country. This features a contemporary powwow grand entry scene with 37 life-sized figures dressed in colorful attire. Now, these are all on a turntable, okay? On a turntable, and the turntable no longer works. The turntable is broken. And I had to learn that in real time and was quite sad about it. Because what they did was create essentially like a full display of what a contemporary powwow would be. And on top of that, I spoke to someone who was like, one of those people was like, ask me questions. And so I did ask them questions. I was like, is this coming with to the new museum? And they said, unfortunately, it is not. And I went, and they told me that every figure in this powwow was based on a real person. It was based on a real Indian person that was representative of Wisconsin's 7 tribes. They are real people and they look like people. It's like full Epcot figurine. They look like people. They're wearing the most gorgeous attire. You wouldn't even believe it. And they're standing on these little circles that you know that they would rotate and you know that they would move if it only worked. And they're not bringing it with. And the person I spoke with told me that they offered back all of the figurines to the families. Some of the families are taking them. Some are leaving them with the museum to languish. I'm sorry, to be put into archives permanently, to languish. And it is so upsetting because it was so majestic and like, they found a way to bring history and culture alive in this museum. And it's just going to be broken and taken apart. Sob! And it was so unique. Oh, I want to look forward to the new one and I want to have high hopes for it. And I did a little digging into what exactly the new museum will be. And it sounds like they will still be honoring things like this. They will be honoring some of the old exhibits. They'll be honoring the old streets of Milwaukee in like a new interactive way. They will be working with Think Design, which is different from Think Well Group. It's weird that two companies with almost the exact same name do experiential design. Think Well Group you may be familiar with because they are now part of a company named Tate, but that has nothing to do with anything. But they've done the Warner Brothers Studio Tour Hollywood. They did the Harry Potter Studio Tour in London. They did the Fast and Furious Supercharged attraction at Universal Studios Hollywood, but like, babes, delete that from the resume. That one ain't good. It's just bringing you down. Get that out of the Wikipedia, okay? That one's gotta go. But Think, THINC Group, based in New York, they've worked on a lot of important projects. They've done the Empire State Building Observatory, the 9/11 Memorial Museum. They've done a lot of other stuff we're familiar with, but they haven't worked on, as far as they've made publicly, they haven't really worked on anything publicly that is theme park related or has crossed our desk, so to speak.
But I dug through every single project on their website. And I have two things to say. One, they did do something similar to the museum that they are going to be working on. They did an Ancient Americas exhibit at the Field Museum in Chicago in 2007. And you know what? They did not house those artifacts and those items in buildings emulating the origin of the artifacts featured. Okay? They did not set the scene like this museum does. So I am concerned. And while the new and improved exhibits are seemingly being done the right way, everything I read through sounds pretty cool, and if I hadn't seen the current version, I might be very, very on board. It still just makes me miss how things were in the past. This is a generalization, and not just for this museum, but so often we get these shiny new exhibits with screens and interactivity, and that's not always the experience that we want. This place was low-tech interactivity. The rainforest area had trees, scenes, a Jeep for no reason. Different cultures were represented through their architecture, through their music, and through the items in the display case. They set the scene in every location, and while the modern souped-up version of these spaces is pretty great and cool and fun, nothing beats what I saw this week. The artistry alone was jaw-dropping. The painting in these dioramas was gorgeous, and it stinks that the best version of what this is going to be is just going to be another tech-savvy outpost. Sometimes the old tactile way is the good way. And yeah, for argument's sake, would my child like the new version here? Like, I don't know, would she like the interactivity more than a video I saw about dinosaurs that truly made me feel like I was transported back to my childhood even though I did not spend it here? She sure would. The highlight of her trip was the candy store because the rest of the museum was too dark and she didn't want to be in it. I was like, Pearl, I'm going to set a timer for 10 minutes and then I will give you candy after. I just want you to see this museum. We made it 5 minutes in. But you know what? With all of the griping that I have, with all of the naysayers that I've read who are upset about the changes, with all the people who think it's going to be great for the community, with all of the news reports about all of the actually cool features this new museum will have, maybe it will all be okay. And I think it'll all be okay because of one small reason. You want to know why? Do you want to know why? Well, I tore through Think's profile. I went through all of their works. And there it was, like a beacon of hope, a project from all the way back in 1992. They made a 25-foot-tall Nickelodeon green slime geyser at Universal Orlando Resort. And if these great minds could make that a reality, there's nothing they can't do. So, do the faithful loyals who are sad to see their perfectly nostalgic museum go in the right? Is the museum actually going to wow us with something new? Only time will tell. But if you can get your butt to Milwaukee before January 2027, boy, oh boy, you should. Because this place was absolutely worth being on my bucket list. If you have any questions about the museum, please give me a call. If you spent your childhood there and have things to say, I want to hear it. And if you need a little convincing, truly text me, call me anytime, beat me. You got to go here. You simply got to go. It was perfect. Becky's back, and she's going to tell us how we can save more money.
The big one this week is Disney Cruise Line. They came up with a save up to $500 per person. Whoa. On select sailings from October 1st to December 31st of this year. That's valid on most sailings, not all, but most sailings of the Disney Treasure, the Disney Fantasy, and the Disney Wonder, which you should be listening about because that's obviously the Disney Wonder from San Diego.
I mean, I am so close to booking it for a second time this year, you don't even know.
When you have 500 per person, that's not just for one and two. That's $500 per person in the cabin off. Book by August 30th for that one. So a good example is for select nights or for 7 nights in a veranda, you save up to 500. If you're in an ocean view, you would save up to 400 per person. If you get into that 6 nights or less, you have savings up to $250 per person. So it does vary by the itinerary that you choose and the cabin category. But that is an incredible savings for Disney Cruise Line. If you want to do a cruise, now's the time to do it if you can go this year.
I do want to do a cruise, Becky.
If a cruise, though, isn't in your future, Aulani, if you want to go over and have your little drink with a little umbrella and hang out in the lazy river, Aulani has a save up to 30% off on select rooms, including their partial ocean view and ocean view rooms. For stays up to 5 or more consecutive nights, you get up to that 30% off. 4 or more consecutive nights is up to 25%. This is for stays valid from October 19th to December 23rd. And if you're a Disney Visa card holder, you can save even more. You can save up to 35% and hang out in Hawaiian paradise.
I am, and I want to. I want to hug Duffy. They won't let us. They trot Duffy and Shelly Mae around at Disneyland, tempting us, just going down Main Street. We can't hug them, but you can hug them in Aulani.
You stalk poor Duffy, don't you, when you're in
Of course, I
Aulani?
do.
The other one, last but not least, is in your backyard for Disneyland. They do have a save up to 15% off select room types Sunday through Thursday through September 7th. That's save up to 15% at the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel, as well as saving up to 10% off Pixar Place. And, but wait, there's
Oh
more.
my gosh.
If you're a Disney Visa card holder, you can save up to 25% off.
Wow. Blair will be hearing from me.
I'm sure he will. San Diego is calling your name.
Literally, I already have the date. I already have a hole in my calendar. I don't want to talk about it. It was so great to see you, and thank you for all of this and for everything you do.
Currently, this is Maggie. I live in Texas, but I'm from New Jersey. I heard on the Gabfest you say that you are going to try to take Pearl to every children's museum in the tri-state area when you visit New York. And while that's ambitious, I have a suggestion. I think that you should really try to take Pearl to the Liberty Science Center in Jersey City, New Jersey. I know, not ideal, but it is actually in Liberty State Park, or right next to it. So you can see the Statue of Liberty. It is also a beautiful museum. I used to go all the time as a kid. I have the best memories there. And they apparently have the largest planetarium in the Western Hemisphere or something like that, which is like bonkers bananas. But sounds very fun. I have a little girl who is a year older than Pearl, and I am trying to make my way back there, and that is like super high on my list. To take her to when we go. But I thought when I heard you say that maybe I should pass that along. I haven't been in many years, so I can't 100% say that like it's still amazing, but like the reviews online are still great. And they have so much, and it's such a beautiful museum. So just wanted to pass along this little tidbit. I hope you guys have a great time. Bye.
Hi, thank you so much for calling. I wanted to play this in case anyone in the, what do you call it, tri-state area is going and would like something like this. I don't know if we are going to make it simply because our last trip to New York with my child was very chaotic. I don't know what happened, but like she was having so much fun with her cousins, we like couldn't get out of the apartment. Like we could not, our whole family's there. We like couldn't get anywhere. So I don't like, don't even, I don't not even, I don't even think I'm gonna make it to Brooklyn. Like, I don't think we're even gonna make it out of Tribeca. I think we are pretty staying close to home and hoping for the best. But I wanted to make sure I aired this because this does sound like a blissful place to visit this summer. I saw what you're talking about, the view. Heaven. I would love to go here when she's older. There's so many places I wanna go. I've never been to, what is it, Stu Leonard's? Is that, yeah, Stu Leonard's. Where is that? Why does my brain think that's in Boston, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey? I want to go to Stu Leonard's so bad. So maybe next year when she's older, we will do this. We will drive to Stu Leonard's. I will rent a car. Sounds like a great day. Also, if anyone is go, please just go to Stu Leonard's for me too. They have animatronics. Oh, I'm so jealous. Oh, wow. It's run still. The CEO of Stu Leonard's is Stu Leonard Jr. We love a family-run business with little robotics. Oh my God, they have $16 buttered lobster rolls. Okay, I really need to go there. I really need to go. Just not what you called about, but it's fine. Thank you so much for calling. And this is absolutely going on the to-do list for the future. Thank you. That's our show! I
I do feel like my voice sounds a little different, but I don't think it's the mic. I think it's the room in my parents' house I'm in because it's bigger and it's like more reverby, but we'll find out after the fact. Anyway, that's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. I am like, I want to say 7 other things, but we're in the outro portion of the show, but I'm just going to say it. Okay, so I have an outro doc that has like basically 6 words in it because I sometimes forget, like, what am I supposed to say my Instagram? Like, I've been doing this for years and I somehow still can't remember everything. And I still have all of this like text that I had for the episode we did with Drew Taylor because there were so many, that man is so prolific. There were so many things I had to hype for him. And I cannot believe that, like, I'm looking at this now. Tom Cruise is starting the promo cycle for that movie Digger, and it's happening. And it's just like, oh my God, Tom Cruise is back, and it's not even for Mission. You know, I'm a diehard Mission fan that has, he is problematic, but I cannot help myself. We're all flawed. My flaw is that I love a man who cares more about me having more fun at the movies than anybody else. No other actor cares that much. Maybe Olivia Wilde. I'm an Olivia Wilde stan. Surprise. Still haven't seen the invite. Really want to. Can't get that many hours away over the course of these 3 weeks. However, I mean, I've been using my free time to like go see Friends, not to go see a movie. Love of Olivia Wilde. That's a digression. Tom Hanks. Oh my God. I've had 3 coffees today. I have no excuse for this. We're in the outro. What am I doing? Anyway, Tom Cruise back in the marketing blitz. And I just really, I respect that man. I know he is a troubled man, but you know, there's a lot of controversy there, but I love that he cares so much about little old me having fun at the movies. And that speaks a lot to me. It's a very like Disney level of effort of my guest experience. And for that, I'm appreciative. Anyway, you can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can give us a call, 747 Churros. Keep those calls coming. And if you're thinking about planning a trip, you should, because there are so many more discounts than there used to be. And I know that we're all like, you know, like everything's more expensive now, so that kind of balances out. Like, there's not as much money going around. I get it. But if you can swing a trip, now is the time to do it. Head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. They will help you out with all of your cruise line, theme park, etc. needs. Even if you like want to go on Royal Caribbean and one of the other brands, they're actually like Royal Caribbean experts. We just don't talk about it that much because we're so theme park centric. They have so many options for you. Check them out. mousefantravel.com/amusing. They help make whatever this is possible. The vibe is different at my parents' house, okay? Working out of like a bedroom I spent time in as a child when we were dialing up on AOL just hits a little different. It's hard to stay focused. But hit up Becky and team, mousefantravel.com/amusing, and we thank you because that is how we keep these shenanigans running. Follow me at Carly Wiesel. Join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. I need to go back there to the bookworm thread because I need to complain about a book that I read for book club, which everyone in book club loved. And spoiler alert, not even a spoiler alert, I thought it was garbage. You can subscribe to my Instagram. Oh, I'm sorry. Facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. See, I told you vibe is weird in this room. Subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. 99 cents a month. Would love to have you there. Very, very much would love to have you there. It's fun. I post all the time and it's great. I feel like I've left something out because I've been talking about everything else, but I think we're good. I hear my child screaming again, so I think that's my cue to go. Thank you so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, sweetie pie. Okay, mini episode? There was nothing mini about that. It was wonderful. It was an hour. I got my fix. I'm very happy. I love you, and I love that you can see how long, if you're looking at your phone, how long it takes to get on a ride. I have no idea how you do that. I have no, but I don't have to, because usually when I go, of course, I'm with you, and you do it all for me. I love that. I show up. You do everything. I've said that time and time again. You're the best. You definitely started me bringing hand warmers to the park. And we have used it many times in Orlando when they had a cold freeze, and it came in handy. Great tip for everyone. And I knew if there was one choice between going to Magic Kingdom or going to Epcot, I knew you were going to say Epcot. And, of course, that's exactly what I would do, except I would pick Epcot, I would spend all day there, and I would make sure we would leave in time to see fireworks at Magic Kingdom. So I know that's not just one choice, but I would do that anyway. And you would do it with me because we've done it before. It's so funny. All right, sweetie. I can't wait to see you. I know I'll see you soon, you and Pearl. And I'm very excited about it. And I love you very much. And I love Pearl very much. And I love John Stamos, of course, very much. Bye-bye.